This is Guy Bogart and our cats scampering across the airlines for a frolic after dinner, a purr, a stretch, and a romp. One of the great French writers once said that if you would know what the cat is thinking about, you must hold its paw in your hands for a long time. We have only a few minutes tonight, but we can understand the stanza from Ann Metcalf's poetry page in Cats Magazine. Love that cat. Speak gently to your little cat. Talk in loving tones. She may not know the words you use. She'll feel them in her bones. That's by Gertrude D. Bacon. In Our Dumb Animals, Nona Keen Duffy writes, there's nothing like a kitty cat to sit and hold and stroke and pat. A cat with whiskers on her nose and velvet booties for her toes. A cat beside the fireplace to watch the flames and wash her face. A cat to arch her back and purr each time you stroke her silky fur. The greatest and most authoritative living writer on cats today is Dr. Ida M. Mellon, who, like so many of us, loved cats from her earliest cognizance. Still active in preparing new books, it is interesting to take a peep into the early childhood of this dean of American cat lovers. She has presented me with a copy of Pleasant Rhymes for Little Readers, published in London in 1866. It was purchased for her brother, Frank, who was born in 1864. In later years, the little girl included it in her reading, and she writes, I was brought up on Little Black Pussy. So here is the first cat poem read by the great scientist who was to know more about cats than any other human being, the black kitten. The little black pussy stood close by a dish, most greedily eating large mouthfuls of fish, and Margaret, she watched her at dinner and thought her dear lively kitten ate more than she ought. But all in a moment, Puss gave a loud moan. Oh, dear, exclaimed Margaret, she swallowed a bone. Her mewing and choking were dreadful to hear. Poor Margaret was almost afraid to go near. Her mouth she kept clawing, and then she rushed around. Then over and over she rolled on the ground. Oh, poor little pussy, cried Margaret. If I turn coward and leave you, I'm sure you will die. I'm certain Mama wouldn't leave me alone if I were a kitten and swallowed a bone. So over her pussy, her pinafore white, she threw in a moment and snatched her up tight. And into the house from the garden she ran, exclaiming, oh, cook, come out as fast as you can. And cook, she got up to the parlor at last, a very fat woman, she couldn't run fast. She took the poor cat to the kitchen below, and Margaret went after and thought her so slow. She sat in the chair, and she held pussy tight and bade little Margaret stand out of the light. The mouth of the kitten she opened quite wide, and down in the throat a large bone she espied. And after some feeling and fumbling about, the struggle was ended. The bone was got out. The cook, she sat wiping and the scratch on her thumb, and wished there were more that were kind to the dumb. For God was a maker of great and of small, and we should be feeling and good to them all. Oh, dear little children, be sure that you, as you would wish others, be done unto you. So we are given to read in my generation. We learn to appreciate Swinburne's stately, kindly, lordly friend more, but these children's poems made an impression on us. Interesting to share this bit from Dr. Ida M. Mellon's early childhood. Harcourt Brace and Company of New York presents something more modern in juvenile entertainment for cat lovers, but you'll always be a juvenile as far as enjoying Pitchkey is concerned. At least at 70, I defy any grinning kid to enjoy it more than I. It's about the kitten who always wanted to be something else. A sad story, but one which ends well. So subtitles the author Hans Fischer. This internationally known illustrator and printmaker, in his first American publication, has made for it brilliant six-color lithographs, originally on stone. It sells at $3. You and the children will chuckle over the quaintly realistic color plates as old Lisette watched her two cats and their five kittens. The youngest, Pitchkey, does not play with the other four. We see him going out to be something else. Father Rooster, the goat, the duck. This time he comes close to drowning. Then his experience with the rabbits, locked safely in the cage at night as a fox and the owl try to break in, until the dog's bark brings old Lisette and Pitcher is rescued, wrapped in a warm cloth and fed warm milk from a bottle in the good woman's lap. As he lays sick in bed next day, all the animal friends come to see him. Well again, he joins the other four kittens, and in just being himself. This telling doesn't really explain the story. It needs the mastery of Hans Fischer's language, but even more, his grand drawings. You don't have to turn juvenile if you don't want to. There's plenty of young folks in library and school story hour, and in the home who will read and reread Pitschke. Purely for adults, we recommend one of the newer anthologies, Best Cat Stories, edited by Michael Joseph, the English publisher and one of the greatest cat lovers in world circles. You are familiar with his Cat's Company and his Deathless Charles, The Story of a Friendship, both of which have appeared in American editions, and his co-editing another anthology, Puss in Books. Robert Bentley Incorporated of Boston are publishers of Best Cat Stories at $3. To the 18 stories is added T.S. Eliot's poem, The Addressing of Cats. I'm glad he included a selection from Paul Gallico's Jenny, and I agree with him. It is, quote, a book which I am firmly assured is establishing itself as a classic of cat literature, unquote. He selects that gem of cat philosophy, When in Doubt, Wash, which was used for a series of photographs in Walter Chandoa's All Kinds of Cats, featuring his favorite cat, Loco. Mr. Joseph purposely leaves out a few classics which have been found in almost all anthologies of cat stories, but he does retain Charles Dudley Warner's Calvin. We cannot read that one too often, remember? Reader's Digest had a condensation last year. And I'm delighted to read again Carl Van Vechten's Feathers. 8 of the stories had never been published in book form before. Most of them you probably have not read, and if so, you'll be glad to read them again. Publisher and author both, and 100% cat lover, Michael Joseph is perhaps better qualified than any living person for selecting a book of cat stories, so I would have said before reading Best Cat Stories. Now I can say it more emphatically. Some months ago, I quoted from an English magazine a brief quotation from Mr. Joseph. Reading this introduction to Best Cat Stories, I'll give you the full statement. Quote, there is no getting away from the truth that cat lovers are in a sense separated from their fellow men and that they share with each other the peculiar devotion to the cat which confers on them the privileges and exclusiveness of a Freemasonry. It is a society which has no rules, no subscriptions, and no signs or badges enabling members to recognize one another. But it is indisputable that true cat lovers always do recognize other cat lovers, at any rate in the presence of a cat. It is perhaps something in the voice, a caressing, muted quality, a subtle alteration of pitch, or more simply, a gentle voice, not a voice put on for the occasion, but the quiet, natural, affectionate voice we use when speaking to children we love. Or perhaps it is the way the hand is stretched out, slowly, open, never with the fingers closed, welcoming yet not effusive, or it may be just the way we look at our cats. Now, I do not doubt that all this will be dismissed as preposterous nonsense by the plain man, the man of common sense with both feet on the ground, and preferably a large dog lying immediately beside them. But all cat lovers know, as I do, that it is the truth. Young and old, rich and poor, we're bound together by our common love of cats, that strange abiding affection which persists in us all, and which acknowledges the cat as a supreme animal, and which creates a brotherhood from which the less fortunate are unobtrusively but firmly excluded. Whatever outsiders do not understand is that we are not just infatuated worshipers at the shrine of the cat. We can scold our cat, not that it ever does anybody any good, laugh at our cats, play with them, find fault with them, and be exasperated by their unpredictable moods. The only thing we cannot do is to live without them. Unquote. That's by Michael Joseph. I must call attention to one more book for children, parents, teachers, and all who have to deal with children, or for anyone who loves animals. It is Pets by Francis N. Christie, subtitled A Complete Book on the Care, Understanding, and Appreciation of All Kind of Animals. In Pets, it has no rival in its field, and every family in which there are children ought to have it, and if there are no youngsters, you'll like it just the same. It is from the press of Little Brown and Company of Boston at 350. The brief introduction and advice to parents, pardon me, are 100% common sense. Almost every ordinary, and some not so ordinary, pets is dealt with, necessarily briefly, but with a wealth of understanding. I have deeply loved cats for all of my 70 years, and I've read pretty good percentage of all that has been written among them in the past century. I do not think I've ever read as much information on the nature, characteristic, and basic facts of an equally brief form. Not one sentence or word, but is true. I remember the strange pets I've had, including snakes and pigs, and, of course, a life of friendship with dogs. The author has handled all of these as closely as she has described the cat. The book is an orientation for any age. It gives you a fine understanding of the animals you know and a fresh viewpoint of those you have not been fortunate enough to love. The time is short tonight, but I want to ask the publisher's permission to quote later from some of the wholesome, sensible, and useful data. I've looked over so many such type books that I started half-heartedly until I had read about half a page. Then I went to bed and read eagerly from kibber to kibber and returned later for a further study. I'm sure the publisher will consent to your sharing more details later, but I certainly do hope a lot of you will buy it. It isn't something to read and pass up. This is a tool and a joy. There is also a very good section on first aid and common diseases. This is Guy Bogart with love and joy to each of you. Bright dawns and days of peace and understanding with happy purrs.